find a smiling face, a fireplace, a cozy room, a little nest that's nestled where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, and my baby makes three. We're happy in my blue heaven, so happy in my blue heaven. Yeah, we're happy in my blue heaven.
I'd like to call the afternoon session of the City of Goleta's City Council meeting to order. Would you please all stand and join me in the flag salute?
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, can we have roll call, please?
Councilmember Farr.
Here.
Councilmember Aceves.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tempore Perotti.
Here.
Mayor Bennett.
Here. I'd now like to ask that we all take a moment of silence due to the tragic events which occurred in Alta Vista on Friday, May 23rd. So please join me in that moment of silence. I would now like to go forward, and this is public forum. This is the time for anyone who may speak before the Goleta City Council on an item that is not on today's agenda, but is within the purview of the City of Goleta. We have one speaker slip. Mr. Aaron Sweeney.
Greetings to the council and my fellow citizens. My name is Aaron Sweeney. And just as a citizen of Goleta, I wanted to express sorrow at the shootings in IV and condolences to the victims and their families. I am a small business owner. My business is right next door to where one of the murders occurred. And as a resident of Goleta, I just want to encourage our city to work with the county health department to work with them with renewed vigor to provide mental health to all of our citizens, especially UCSB and City College students who are residents of our city. And might be particularly affected. Finally, just to express that we need to continue to support our first responders who will confront any future incident. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Madam Manager, any amendments or adjustments to the agenda?
There are no amendments or adjustments.
Okay, I think there we did add one recognition, however, to the presentation portion of our agenda.
That's true. I stand corrected. Thank
That's
you.
All right. You don't have to be corrected. Just working together here.
Item A1, proclamation to declare June 15, 2014 as World Elder Abuse Awareness Day.
For those that are going to be receiving this award on behalf of our senior population, would you please come forward to the podium, and I'll join you there. You may stand out here as I read this. You don't have to be hidden behind the podium. How's that? Okay, this is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Goleta. Whereas June 15th, World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, provides an opportunity for communities around the world to promote a better understanding of abuse and neglect of our older persons by raising awareness of the cultural, social, economic, and demographic processes affecting elder abuse and neglect. And whereas millions of older Americans are abused, neglected, or exploited each year, with an estimated 84% of cases going unreported. And whereas sponsors of World Elder Abuse Awareness Day include the City of Santa Barbara Parks and Recreation Department, the Goleta Valley Senior Center, the County of Santa Barbara, Homestead Senior Care, Help Unlimited, Family Services Agency of Santa Barbara, and the Santa Barbara District Attorney, and whereas World Elder Abuse Awareness Day serves as a call to action for individuals, organizations, and communities to raise awareness about our elder abuse, neglect, and exploitation. And whereas the city asks that the public joins the Santa Barbara and Goleta communities in an effort to fight elder abuse, now therefore it be resolved that on this third day of June, the City Council of the City of Goleta does hereby proclaim June 15th, 2014, World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, approved this third day of June 2014. And thank you very, very much. Let's turn around and let's see if we can't get ourselves a nice picture here. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you wish to say have a few words, now is your time.
City Council, we'd just like to thank you all for standing behind our efforts with stomping out and standing up against elder abuse in Santa Barbara County. We firmly believe that with the support of cities and counties, we will be able to put a big dent in the crime rate towards elders in our community. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I have a few words.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I just want to thank you personally. I took the pledge to stand up against elder abuse, and I think it's great that you're really making it public and getting the word out. I mean, oftentimes we think of elder abuse as somebody physically or mentally hurt or abandoned. But, you know, there's also that financial situation that could occur, which happened just recently to my own mother-in-law. So, and we keep a watchful eye on her. It just happened to happen at a time when there was no one there, and someone called, and she said, sure, come over and fix my heater, air conditioner, and they did, and they left a $3,000 bill. So we're dealing with that right now. So it can happen. It is happening. So thank you for bringing it to our attention, and I hope everybody stands up against elder abuse. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Let's move on, Madam Clerk. The next item.
Next item, Certificate of Recognition, Amy Mallett.
Okay. Amy didn't know we were going to do this. You look a little pink.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little pink. So here we go. This is a certificate of recognition. The City Council of the City of Goleta, California presents the certificate of recognition acknowledging Amy Mallett, Senior Director of the Goleta Valley Senior Center, for her efforts with the Aqua Aerobics Program. Say that three times fast. And as the recipient of the Intergenerational Program of the Year Award from the Central Coast Commission for Senior Citizens Area Agency on Aging, the City Council of the City of Goleta proudly honors Amy Mallett, Intergenerational Program of the Year Award recipient, approved on the third day of June, 2014. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Gotta do this again. Now you also may also make some comments.
Actually, this one's a little bit easier. I'm very proud of this program. Former council member Ed Easton actually got the ball rolling on this. Somebody came to him and said, hey, you know, we need some programming. I took it to my seniors who weren't as capable of going on hikes and doing some of the more athletic things that we do at the senior center, expressed an interest in being able to get out and exercise. This came into our lap. I contacted Nick Delawan from Dos Pueblos High School, and we put this program together, and it's just been the most amazing program. And in fact, I thought I was going to have to struggle to get funding for this program, and literally the Gil Day Foundation, Easy Lift Transportation, as well as Santa Barbara Foundation have just opened their arms and said, hey, whatever we can do to help get this program going, we're going to do it. And it's now in its second year, fully funded. The seniors are not having to pay for this at all. And so I'm very proud of this program, and thank you very much for the recognition.
Thank you very much. And our last proclamation for the day is recognizing the achievements of the Dos Pueblos Robotics Team 1717. So if they'll come forward to the podium and join me.
Oh, man.
That's all right. You just... You just push me off to the other side. That's okay. I can make this work. I'm adaptable. Okay, here we go. Whereas Dos Pueblos High School, in collaboration with the Santa Barbara County Education Office Regional Program, determined that our community would benefit from the presence of an engineering program designed for students at the secondary level. And whereas the mission of the Dos Pueblos Engineering Academy is to provide 21st century skills via project-based education in science, technology, engineering, art, mathematics, the Dos Pueblos Engineering Academy students and to develop a model for replication at other schools in a way that is relevant, business-oriented, team-based, engaging, and inspirational so that graduates can successfully achieve their goals of pursuing higher education and contributing to the workplace and society. And whereas the Dos Pueblos Robotics Team 1717 participated in the division semifinals in the first robotics championship and captured the coveted Industrial Design Award for creating a robot that integrated novel design concepts into an elegant robot, now therefore be it resolved that on this third day of June 2014 that the City Council of the City of Goleta does hereby recognize the achievements of the Dos Pueblos Robotics Team 1717 approved this third day of June 2014. Congratulations.
Now we have to stand like you just see in here for the obligatory picture. And you can hold on to this too. That's okay. Very good. Okay. There we go. Okay. Now, and you can stand up here and have a few words to say. I'm sure your instructor may have something to say as well.
So I'm going to echo what I say anytime I get an opportunity to speak in front of the public, and that is that this program that we've created is really only possible with the support of the community. The current educational environment and climate does not really provide the types of funding that we need to do this stuff that is over and above, but which ultimately I believe should be fundamental to every student's education. And so what we really feel like we're doing is recreating an existence proof of what is possible, and then I think that with time we can look at how we can change the funding structure either by bringing in more funding or by redistributing funding so that every student can have this type of experience. And I'd like to thank the City of Goleta for contributing to this in the form of a city grant, and then we received that 2 years in a row, and every dollar counts, so we sincerely appreciate Goleta recognizing what we're doing over here at Dos Pueblos High School. So thank you.
Quite welcome.
I would like to follow that and also say thank you very much for the grant. That this experience has been absolutely phenomenal for all the students involved in the program. And one of the things that people seem to think is that because we're an engineering team building a robot, that all we're doing is creating engineers for the city who are going to go on into the workforce. But in reality, that's really not the case. We're creating problem solvers and thinkers who are going to go on to propagate new ideas through the community. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Got the City of Goleta patch on here. Whenever you see that.
Yeah. All right. Yay.
Representing. All right.
I had one question if I could, Mr. Mayor.
Certainly, go ahead.
You know, I didn't want to acknowledge the patch because we kind of brought that up last time as far as getting a donation into the program. So I hope future councils will keep the patch on your uniform. The program was initially started to kind of encourage women to participate because they're underrepresented.
It was started to, the original idea was to start a program to really encourage STEM in general, because there was so much, there's an emphasis that we need STEM, students focused in, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math. We added an art component to really address aspects of design, which are also important. But when I offered my first class and I just put the word engineering in front of it, only two girls signed up and 33 boys. And so it was that experience where I had been teaching gender-balanced courses in physical science, I mean, at the high school, but by adding the word engineering into the course title caused this complete transformation in the demographics of the class. And so it's through that experience that we really worked collectively as an organization to ensure that we had, gender balance in our program. And so now we have 400 students in our program and 200 are girls. And most people don't think that. They think they're going to come, and they always, if they sight unseen in the engineering community, they just think, okay, well, we'll come talk to your guys about how to engineer, because that's what it looks like in the workforce. So we're trying to change what it looks like in the earlier years, so that way that propagates forward into the college. Because even when I went to UCSB, I gave some keynote address a couple years ago, and there were like three or four girls graduating in the audience, and I was looking at that and thinking, you know, we've got to make this change. So that's how that ultimately came about. That's the story behind that. We're proud of that, and I think that the girls and boys together are getting a better experience because of the diversity in the program. I think that everyone is benefiting.
Congratulations.
Super. Thank you.
Councilmember Farr.
If I might say something, your name's Amir Abu Shair. Is that pronounced right?
Yes.
I never hear it pronounced, and so I wasn't sure that it was, but I've been waiting for you to come in here in front of us. I think this is the first time you've been here when I've been here, and I wanted to say that you are definitely a local hero here in Goleta. You've done a fabulous job over there and really lifted DP into the front rank, I think, of high school institutions. And I had a opportunity to chat with Gene Lucas the other day about the RNA stuff, and he said that you were his student and you were the best student he had. So,
kind words from Gene Lucas. Also a local for a long time. So yeah.
Well, but the interesting thing about you, as I understand it, is that you were working in private enterprise and decided that that wasn't as fulfilling as you wanted, so you went back to get involved in this program. And you're doing a fabulous job. Every year I like to read about it, what success you guys have, and you always have terrific success. So I can't thank you guys enough for what you're doing over there.
Really appreciate that.
Okay.
Mayor Pro Tem.
One more. I didn't realize that. I'm just getting that information. I had not heard that story before, that about your background and your involvement now, and I just want to say that I'm so proud of all the students at DP, and both my girls graduated there, and I'm hoping that my grandchildren will be able to go there. It's a great school, so congratulations to you and all your hard work, and thank you.
Thank you again. Madam Clerk, let's move on to the consent calendar.
Item B1, review of conflict of interest code. B2, fiscal year 2014-2015 pavement rehabilitation project, slurry seal award of contract. B3, 2013-15 strategic plan update to adopt resolution number 14-next in order, entitled a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, amending the 2013-15 strategic plan and hereby approving the plan for utilization by the organization.
Any council member wish to pull any item?
I'd like to pull B3.
B3.
Move approval B1, B2.
Motion to be made. Is there a second?
Second.
All those signify by saying aye. Those approve?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Let the record show it's unanimous, 4-0. Mr. Councilmember Farr.
On 2 of 4 here on this particular item, the strengthen infrastructure, there is a staff's actively pursuing alternative transportation program grant funding. And we just heard recently that James Winslow has secured $230,000 or something from the state for the pedestrian bicycle plan. Is that this particular grant?
Hello, council members, and I am...
Could you identify yourself?
Sorry, this is Heidi Ayton, senior management analyst. And your question, I believe that Rosemarie might be able to better answer that comment or question.
Hi, I'm sorry, Rosemarie Gaglione, Interim Public Works Director. I just checked the staff report. That's the $199,000 that Teresa Lopes got us in Highway Safety Improvement Program money for the crosswalk in front of the Goleta Valley Community Center.
Okay.
And then there's now an additional $204,000 that James Winslow managed to get in a Sustainable Communities grant for the Bike Ped Master Plan.
All right. Well, tell James from us, that's a very nice piece of work there.
I will do that.
That's a lot of money, and it's going to push this down the road in the way we want to do that. And I have something written in here about the addition to strategic goal 4, and that you're adding to that, investigating off-street parking opportunities. This is from our discussion, I suppose, Mr. Adamitis, with the old town and off-street parking on Hollister. So that's been added into that. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes, I'll let Vito address what was the latest.
Right. I thought you were kind of dozing off over there, Mr. Adamidis. I thought I would drag you into this.
Thank you, Council and Councilmember Farr, Vito Adamidis, Director of Neighborhood Services and Public Safety. Under the strategic goal number four, investigating the off-street parking opportunities, we have, as a result of the work through the Econ Development and Revitalization Committee, had this discussion, and I believe this is reflective of those efforts through that committee to incorporate it into this item here.
All right, good.
Thank you
for adding that in. And on strategy five, maintain safe community, fire station 10, staff's meeting with the county and is hopeful of a path forward soon. Does the mayor get a chance to put his oar into that discussion? Because he has, as we all know, a long history with the fire, and he might be a good one to have in there to keep everybody honest from the other side.
Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Farr, the mayor has both oars, and all of us inside that boat to have that discussion with the county, and also to try to find ways to move this project forward, as it's an important priority for the council and certainly for the community.
All right, very good, thank you. And those are the only questions, comments I had on that. So.
Mayor Pro Tem Prati.
Thank you. I have one, since you pulled this, I have one thought. When we did the State of the City presentation, Strategy 6, Preserve and Enhance Quality of Life in Goleta, was listed as number one. I'm wondering if we might consider, it's all the way at the bottom, and it's pretty important, as all the other ones are as well. But I kind of liked seeing it number one.
That certainly wouldn't be a problem, Councilmember Brody. Yes. It's up to the group what they would prefer.
I just might comment because I did make up the agenda, so that was a part of my program, and I did just unilaterally make the change. And the reason I did is that I didn't recall that we had prioritized any of these things, and I just wanted to list it first. I took them as bullet points. So for my emphasis, that's why I put it first, not intending that any of the numbers meant anything. And instead of necessarily moving anything around, I would just suggest that the strategies be bullet points and eliminate the numbers, and then no one is faulted or anyone or anything is misunderstood as to the importance of the item, because it was never intended that one was more important than the other. It was the ability of staff to move forward and the ability of funding and other issues that are always surrounding anything we do that kind of directs what may be able to move now versus something that may be able to move forward, you know, at a later time. So anyway, my intent was just to do that, which I took upon myself to do.
So you changed it.
I did. But it, again, my point was is that it wasn't because of any numbering, and that's why I felt comfortable based on my memory, but I see that I was wrong and that there are numbers, but certainly when we discussed it, there was no intent that any one was more important than the other.
Right, and I understand it that way too. It just was a nice way to start it off. So,
a couple questions.
Councilmember Seves.
Mr. Adamidis, getting back to the off-street parking, is there monies budgeted for this? How is the investigation going to go forward?
Mr. Mayor and council members and council member Aceves, the current staff efforts in regards to this item have been contacting business owners in Old Town to see and gauge the level of interest in participating in such a program. There hasn't yet been a process to execute agreements with property owners or even identify funding sources to what degree to make this happen. So at this point, the work is fairly preliminary.
So it's a preliminary discussion instead of investigating the opportunities, because we don't have any monies allocated or agreements discussed by council?
As of yet, no.
Okay. Thank you. And then the second question, I don't know if it goes to city manager or who, but there are items spread out during the different strategies where it says modifications to budget item, budgeted items. And were these items that council has already made the modifications, or are these things that still need to come to the Finance Committee to recommend to council on the budget modifications?
Looking back at these now, my assumption is that most of these have already occurred with the third quarter adjustment that council recently approved. Anything that is recommending funds being carried over to next fiscal year from the current fiscal year will be coming to the Finance Committee this week for consideration, and then to the full council on June 17th for final approval.
Do we know which ones? Well, I guess we can discuss at the Finance Committee. I'm just a little concerned that we're incorporating language about modifications to the budget in a strategic plan when we're talking about two different processes.
I understand what your point is. The reason why we reflected these actions here is so that they would, the strategic plan would be consistent with the budget, so the two documents would work together. If there are any final actions council needs to take with the adjustment to the mid-cycle budget for next fiscal year, then we'll make sure that the strategic plan accurately reflects that as well.
Okay. I look forward to the Finance Committee. Thank you.
Is there a motion to approve B3?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve item B3. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So ordered. Let the record show it's 4-0. Madam Clerk, item C.
Item C1, fiscal year 2014-2015, solid waste collection rates.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you for the opportunity to present the fiscal year 2014-2015 solid waste collection rates for residential and commercial businesses within Goleta. The recommended action is two-part today. First is to conduct a public hearing to receive the proposed solid waste collection rates for fiscal year 2014-15. And secondly, you are being asked to pass a resolution that addresses a procedural error the last two fiscal years in calculating the rates, or rather presenting the rates to the council. And this resolution simply repeals those resolutions which gave the appearance that the city was setting the rates, which is not the case. Under the franchise agreement that was negotiated, the hauler and the city agree upon what rates will be set within a not-to-exceed cap. And what was presented the last couple years was the not-to-exceed cap, which also coincided with the rates that Marburg chose to charge residents and commercial businesses. So in other words, the franchise agreement, the way it was negotiated, relieves the city from setting rates and helps us get around concerns about Proposition 218. That's one way of approaching that concern. And so the franchise agreement specifies a not-to-exceed cap that's calculated, and Marburg may choose to charge any rate at or below that during that fiscal year. And just as a reminder, the rates that are charged both residents and commercial businesses consist of three basic components. There's a collection cost. This is the cost that pays for the labor, the trucks, the gasoline, the maintenance on the collection side of the aspect. There's a disposal component, which is reflective of the tipping fee that's charged at the facility that receives the waste, in this case, the Tahigas landfill. And then a third component is regulatory fees. Those are the franchise fees, the solid waste program fees that the city charges the hauler. There are no changes being made this year. The rates will be increasing approximately 2.5%. That's reflective of an increase in the inflation rate, and that's based on the Los Angeles Riverside Orange County a CPI that's published by the U.S. Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics. And then the way that the disposal cost is calculated, we're looking in the rearview mirror two fiscal years, and we're taking the average of the difference of tipping fees between those 2 years, and then that's calculated, and then there's a weight that's added to that, and that gives you the increase to the disposal component. And those two together, again, this year came to a 2.5% increase for residential collection rates. Derek Carlson, who's the manager for Marburg Industries, is here in case you have any questions. I think he may have some statistics to share as well if you're interested in hearing them in terms of how many Sharps containers were distributed, how many batteries were collected as part of the curbside battery collection program that was negotiated in the franchise agreement, perhaps a word or two about any bulky item collection events that may have occurred in multifamily units, apartment complexes, basically, which is a new service that we negotiated the franchise agreement. So that is the summation of what you're being asked to consider. Again, the rates are set by Marburg, and we're merely presenting them here. But we do ask that the council approve or adopt Resolution 14, next in series, and entitled, as it says here, to repeal the mistakes that were made in the last couple of resolutions. That concludes my comments. I'm more than happy to answer any questions that the council may have.
Any questions of staff? Is there a motion for approval?
Mr. Mayor, I'll make the motion, but you want to open and close the public hearing?
Aha. Thank you. Open the public hearing. We don't have any speaker slips.
We have no speaker slips.
Thank you. Close the public hearing. With that, back to you.
Then I would move that we adopt Resolution 14, next in order, entitled Resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, repealing Resolution Number 1235 and Resolution Number 1324 relating to the solid waste collection rates.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Let the record show it's 4-0.
Thank you. And Mr. Mayor, if I could, if we can just get a memo sometime just to give us the numbers, it'd be kind of neat to know what's happening.
Okay.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk.
Item D1, tobacco retail license fee adjustment.
Mr. Giles.
In the absence of Mr. Adamides, I'll go ahead and start this report for you. On May 6th, the council adopted the tobacco retail license ordinance. At that time, there was a question that was raised by the council regarding the fees that were being imposed upon tobacco retail license holders. The question that was raised is whether or not a certain portion of the staff time that is captured as part of that fee that was adopted is not the same staff time or the same efforts that would be expended in obtaining a general business license, which each of the tobacco retailers would also be required to possess. What we present in this report is the affirmative that yes, there is a certain component of staff time that is necessary to receive the information, process it, and maintain an accounting of the license holder's information. For the general business license, that's pretty much the extent of the work that we do with regard to that program. With regard to the tobacco retailer's license, there's a far more significant component additionally that goes into the both the education and enforcement components of that regulatory program, and that made up the difference. The question was whether or not those license fees that we established on May 6th, which is $543 for a new license and $534 for a license renewal, could or should be reduced in light of the fact that that is a duplication of effort that's already being done for the general business license. That's obviously a policy call for the council to consider. We bring this item back to you for the council's policy consideration and direction on that. If the council were to elect to reduce fees in recognition of this, the mechanism that staff would recommend would be to adopt a resolution establishing a revised rate for the tobacco retailer license. We would recommend that be the vehicle if that is council's decision. Mr. Adamonis is here as well. If council has questions regarding the specifics of the tobacco retailer license fee.
Thank you. Questions of staff? Mayor Pro Tem Parati.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm hoping that staff can walk me through when this goes into effect and retailers need to come in and receive their tobacco retail license. And at that, can you walk me through the steps? Would they then, would staff be then looking at their general business license? And what would have to be done to that? Does that have to be looked at and data still? I'm trying to figure out the work that's involved in the process of somebody coming in and asking for a tobacco retail license. What has to be done to the general business license as well?
Mr. Mayor and council members, as part of the city's recently adopted tobacco retailers license ordinance, staff have roughly 60 days from the adoption of that ordinance to begin the outreach and education campaign with tobacco retailers in the city. As part of that effort, it would be included informing them of what the requirements are. Upon effect of the ordinance, staff would be working with each individual tobacco retailer, and there's 39 in the city that have been identified. We would be providing them with the license application, making sure that it's complete, also working with County Public Health and Ms. Dawn Dunn's group to ensure proper coordination and collaboration through the processing. As part of that licensing requirement, as indicated in the report, a first-time license for a tobacco retailer would be $543, that initial application. If the council were to take action today, the fee for the city's license, which is $100, would be concurrently processed at this time. And I think that was the concern that was raised by the mayor at the last meeting, which said if we're looking at both of these applications at the same time in the processing, should there be two separate fees charged when we're looking at one applicant? And I think that's the discussion item before the council today. The fiscal impact section refers to a reduction. The city business license would still be required as part of this process. So that remains in effect, and that's pursuant to the city's code, section 5.01.110 of the Goleta Municipal Code requires that everybody conducting a business have this license. The reduction of the fee before the council would basically offset the cost of the tobacco retailer license by $100, so the fee could be incorporated for the city's business license. In a nutshell, that would be the process that we would envision working with tobacco retailers in the city. And as best we can tell from working with the county and some of the material we've seen, that's the process that we envision. Fairly straightforward. We don't want it to be complicated or confusing. And we would be working expeditiously to get people through the process and in compliance with the city's tobacco retail licensing ordinance. Hope that answers your question.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to find out is that if we're looking at cost recovery, the amount of staff time that has to go into, do they have to update the general, do they put any in data, new data into the general business license at the same time as they're doing the tobacco retail license? Is there staff time involved?
I think what we would envision, if we're looking at one applicant and we're processing all of the paperwork concurrently at that same time, there's an efficiency to doing that, which would not require any additional time to process the paperwork. So the efficiency is we're looking at one applicant and processing both licenses at the same time and getting them into the database and doing all the data entry. So it could be done in one process at one time. So there's an efficiency associated with that, and the report makes reference to that.
And Councilmember Seves.
Just a couple of questions. 30 retailers,
at $543 each, would it be $21,177 approximately? And then the discussion is on top of that would be $100 for city license. So we're talking about a total of $25,000. And you're saying that the monies for the retail license would be for education and enforcement. Is that what I heard?
The cost of the license includes the cost and the analysis of staff time to process and cover the time, the cost recovery for processing the license.
Okay, but that's already been studied, and that's why we came up with the $100 for the license to process a license. So theoretically, we can do, I mean, they already have a city license to conduct business, and they're paying their $100. But we're saying now, on top of that, we want you to pay $543 for the right to sell tobacco. My concern is, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, but these small businesses, and there are a lot of small businesses, are being constantly hit by the county for a lot of fees to conduct inspections on top of their business license. And I'll give you an example. This year, they started charging the retailers a fee for selling dairy products. And there are some that just aren't going to sell milk anymore because it costs them more to have the license and the license or the fee. And the fee is to have a county health officer come in and do an inspection on their refrigerators, which they should be normally doing anyway, just like weights and measures. So I'm trying to understand why we need to charge them additional money when they're already paying a city license fee like everybody else. It doesn't make sense to me.
If I can speak to the numbers that, and I it was one of the items in the staff report under the fiscal impacts. When you're looking at the $100 per retailer with the 39 retailers, the number we're talking about here is $3,900. It's less than $4,000 is the amount that's under discussion out of a larger roughly $25,000 that Councilmember Aceves pointed out. So just to put it in terms of a perspective of how much money we're talking about, I think some of the question that arises into how these issues, how that staff time is put in, you know, certainly with a business license and having somebody come in, pay the $100 and be set up in our system, you know, the staff time that's done for that. When that person who's already in our system then comes and adds on to that a tobacco retailer license, staff in the, you know, finance department doesn't have to go into the data entry system and type in all of their information again. It's already been captured through the business license. So those are efforts that are saved. To the extent that we can work with the retailers to coordinate their license renewals, that further saves money by achieving efficiencies. That's what Mr. Adamidis was talking about, by having only have to call up that data screen one time in order to put that information in there, means that accountant who's entering that information is only doing it one time, counting it up, putting it in twice and going, rather than putting up now once and 6 months later calling it up again in two separate events. The same thing with the code compliance officer and some of the background checks and records checks that he does with regard to a general business license or a tobacco retailer's license. He's doing that one time. And so those are some of the efficiencies that are achieved that Mr. Adamidis was talking about. Is it an exact science? No. Is there some opportunity where these there might not be a true duplication on every license? Yes. When we're talking about less than $4,000 of time trying to get it down to an exact number, maybe more challenging than the dollars that are involved. We're really looking for a policy concern from the council is the desire to maximize cost recovery at every turn on this, or is it to minimize cost recovery where there is a duplicative
efforts are avoided, if I can say that. And again, staff has no real either way, we can collect that amount, and it would require no additional action to recover that amount that we have already established. If it's a policy desire of the council, we can reduce the tobacco retailer's license any amount up to that 100, and it would still be justified and would still represent the cost recovery that has been the policy of the council.
What's the pleasure? Excuse me, Councilmember Farr.
Did I understand you to say that the city is still getting its $100 for the business license?
Yes, sir.
So, in effect, the $3,900 comes out of the enforcement side of this provision.
It would be offset by that. Under the fiscal impact, if we reduce the charge by $100 per license, and that would be the tobacco retailer license, so instead of $543, it would be $443. That would offset the cost of that retailer getting a city business license, which is $100.
We still get the 100. Yeah, so in effect, we're taking it out of the county's enforcement provisions.
Let me state it differently. City gets $100 on the general business license. The city gets $100 on the tobacco retailer's license, plus we get the $443, which goes to the enforcement. So the issue is, does the city get $100 for our efforts on both of them, or do we only need that $100 once without touching the money that's set aside for the enforcement efforts?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I see that differently now. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tempore.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, you know, I'm struggling with this one because I'm looking here at Jaime Valdez gave me a report on tobacco products and smoking supplies for our city alone and how much money it generates. Now, this isn't the revenue that they receive, the stores, the retailers, but it's how much is generated citywide, and it's $3 million. But that's not, from my understanding, that does not even take into account if you pay for, say, cigarettes, smoking product, tobacco products with cash. There's no way of really documenting. So the number could actually be more than $3 million. Am I correct on that? No? Is that not true?
Don't know what you're looking at. We don't have access to that same information. I mean, we don't have the information that was provided to you. We didn't get a copy of that.
Nor did we.
I would say that, you know, and certainly we could look at that and get into that. There's a couple of things. One is, you know, tobacco products, as was mentioned briefly in our presentation, particularly at the Ordinance Committee, is one of the most heavily taxed industries that's there. So when you look at the amount of retail money that is spent on tobacco, a lot of that is passed through to the government entities, and if you're wanting to translate that in, you know, how much is being received by the person that's holding the license that we're getting, you're going to have a very skewed number when you're looking at what is retail spent.
Mr. Mayor and council members, I also wanted to just chime in and say that I don't believe that cash transactions are exempt from the additional taxes that are applied to tobacco product sales, and that those retailers, even if they're handling cash transactions, still have to report what they took in and also pay the tax that they receive.
Okay, thank you.
I might add, just for ratification purposes, my understanding is that, and I could be off a few cents one way or the other, but I believe that between the federal and state taxes on tobacco, and I don't smoke, so I don't buy packs of cigarettes, so I don't know what the total cost is, but the taxes are range, I shouldn't say range, they're about $1.90 per pack is what I've been led to believe. So I don't know how accurate that is, but that could be confirmed as well. And then obviously the cost of the tobacco that the retailer is purchasing it for, whatever that is, and then plus what they sell it for is minus that, that's their profit. So I don't imagine that there's a huge profit margin one way or the other. But it certainly isn't $3 million, I can tell you that. Not even close. That's a gross amount, if anything, and is not reflective of what the retailers are selling things for.
Mr. Mayor, if I can.
Councilmember Seves.
You know, I don't understand the argument. If it's because they make money that we should justify the fee. It doesn't make sense to me because there are a lot of other things that come out of the sales of tobacco, and one example is First Five. That's funded from the sales of cigarettes. And so as we reduce the sales or prohibit the sales, they're going to have less money to work with to provide the services that they provide for. But again, I think, and I'm not getting clear on this, is that what the increase you're asking for goes directly for education, which the county is responsible for doing anyway through the funding that they receive, and enforcement. And the enforcement can be done by our people instead of paying the county to do it. And that's been my argument since the beginning. So I just, it doesn't make sense to me why we need to give money to the county. As far as I'm concerned, they can take it out of the revenue neutrality agreement, as far as I'm concerned, if that's what they want to pay for it. But here we go again, giving them more money to do work that we should be doing ourselves.
Well, that decision's already been made by council. We already voted on it, and that's already been done. So what's before us today is to determine if we're going to give any credit to the fact that we're already in the business, we're already involved in the business with the $100 that we charge for the business license, which the whole purpose for that when we established it was to establish what is going on in our community. That was the purpose. It was never, it was done as a fee. It wasn't done as a tax. We had two presentations. One was to create taxable income like many, many cities, and the city to the east of us certainly does. That's a that's a revenue generator, and that's the purpose for it. We didn't choose to go that way. We chose to merely determine who's doing business within our city limits, and the council agreed to that, and that was the reason for going forward with what we had, because we had no idea up until about 7 years ago as to who was, in fact, doing business in our city. Now we know. And so to me, and the reason I brought this up was because it's just a double hit. I've been down this road before. And as it begins to be implemented and people begin to figure this thing out, I have a feeling that we're going to have people standing here in front of us complaining about this impact when it doesn't make sense, when they walk in and the amount of effort and time to process. We've already heard from staff it's an efficiency issue, and we can do it. We can do very effectively and not charge the retailers and something that really, as it proves out, isn't really necessary given the efficiencies that occur because it's all done at the same time. Mayor Pro Tem Prati.
Thank you. And that was my question. That was what I was concerned about more than anything, was the fact of the cost recovery. And is it, how much staff time is it going to take? And you're telling me it's not going to take any more staff time. And I do know how First Five works. Having been on that advisory board, Councilmember Seves, for many years, I understand. And it's problematic because the whole idea when that started out was to get people to stop smoking. And as it's gone down and people have stopped smoking, they have lost money. But that's the whole idea behind First Five, and they do a fabulous job.
What's the pleasure of the council? If nobody wants to do anything, we're not going to do anything. Well, lacking a motion and lacking anything to go forward, I would say we're done. Okay, let's move on to item E, council comments and standing committee reports. Councilmember Seves.
Do we have any standing committees? I didn't have any committee reports. We do have finance committee coming up, I believe, on the 11th. Other than that, I've been quite busy, and I don't have anything to report for the council.
May I just chime in and say the finance committee is this week, this Thursday, which is the 5th.
Councilmember Farr.
Well, we had a good meeting for the revitalization of Old Town, and it was Mr. Adamaitis, headed that that committee. We had a lively exchange. Basically, the main element of the discussion was whether or not to work towards getting the parking off of Hollister. I am a staunch advocate of that. I see it as opening it up and making Old Town more user-friendly, pedestrian-friendly, certainly bike-friendly. And not everybody sees it that way, particularly if they think that there might be a financial impact to their business. But to this end, Mr. Adamaitis and Jaime Valdez looked into the availability of off-street parking, which I see, and all of us really, I think we're, the mayor and I sit on this committee, and we're in agreement here that the only way you're going to avoid a lot of flack on this is to find some off-street parking. And, of course, the idea is that you will then generate a lot more pedestrian traffic. The Old Town area might actually be a place where people go to amuse themselves rather than just to pick something up on the way home. So it was a good meeting, and they've Mr. Adamaitis and Mr. Valdez have done some good work in contacting people who have lots that are available for sharing. We haven't gotten into the specifics yet as to how many lots might be provided, how many spaces might be provided. That investigation is ongoing as the Neighborhood Services works to the east on that to see ultimately what might become available there, and then we will certainly at that point the discussion will be more lively. But I have to say I thought we made some real progress on that, so I was very appreciative of that. There are a couple of things. Oh, we had a bike ride, which three of the four here, the mayor and Ms. Perotti and I, did a bike ride with Traffic Solutions and the Bicycle Coalition. And it was, the idea was that you have elected officials out there and others who are involved in city and county government with the idea that they would develop better ties to the bicycling community. And I thought it was a great fun. I thought we had a lot of laughs on the thing, and we all acquitted ourselves reasonably well. They said we could come back and do it again sometime, which I took to be a good sign. So I enjoyed that thoroughly, and I'm hoping my compatriots here will speak up on that, because I think everybody enjoyed it. A couple other things. This is kind of down the road. You know, we're thinking about Old Town. How do we make this a better place? I don't know if any of you have been following what LA is doing with the Los Angeles River. Well, they've got a major effort down there to rehab that and to bring it into the community once again as it used to be before it was channelized in concrete a long time ago. They've gotten the federal government to kick in $1 billion for that, which half of which has to come from the city. But the upshot of it is, the question is, do we have any resources like that? And one thing, I don't know quite how we might look at this, but I'm thinking below the community center where there's San Jose Creek, that instead of 51 miles of the Los Angeles River or the 11 miles they're going to do intensively, maybe we could create some sort of 100-yard walk along the creek there, maybe some picnic tables, something to induce, invite people to come down and get a little closer to the natural world that used to be so prominent back in the day and is no longer that way. And I think it would be kind of a fun thing. We probably should boot this around at some time when we have a minute and see whether we want to get the feasibility studies to do it, or if we want to pass it on to the Page Center and make them do it, because they've already agreed to build a bridge over that creek into the community center from their Page Center property. Yeah. Okay, and one other thing, the city manager and I, Ms. Green and I, were talking about access to Los Padres National Forest. We don't have that. Everybody's got it. CARP has it, Montecito has it, Santa Barbara has it. We don't have access to Los Padres National Forest, and it would be nice to get that. Mr. Wagner and I chatted about this. I'll bet it's been a year. And there's somebody up behind us. I think it's above the Van Horn property, but somewhere up in there. Someone owns a piece of property.
Councilmember Farr, it's really not on the agenda when you're beginning to really get beyond
Beyond the scope. Okay. All right. All right. Well, let me just say then that I would like to see staff identify the property owners that are up above the city of Goleta that might ultimately provide us with access to...
As a reminder before we go forward, we agreed as a council that while we're in this interim period that we would work very, very hard not to throw other projects upon their plate because of the work they're trying to accomplish and complete right now. So obviously council can do whatever they want. I'm only one vote, but I'm just suggesting, given our policy, that if two of us agree to go forward on an item, it'll be impactful on for them being able to go forward.
Well, that kind of puts me as the heavy on this thing. Well, then what I will do is I will discuss with Ms. Green who it is that might have that information, and I'm more than happy to do the legwork on it, to talk with the property owners to see if we might somehow induce somebody to take a look at some sort of trail. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for me.
Mayor Pro Tem Farrar.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I want to say that I support Councilmember Farr request, the last two requests. However, I do understand that we did all agree. So maybe this isn't the perfect timing to move down this road, but in the future, I think those are great, great ideas. So I think we should look into them. Okay, so, well, our Goleta Valley Community Center meeting was canceled for May 27th due to the memorial service that we all attended. So it's rescheduled for this evening. So luckily I'm not having a council meeting this evening, so I can go to that. May 28th, the mayor and myself and two community members looked at the grant funding, our new program for that. It was exciting and always challenging and rewarding all at the same time. More information will come to everyone about that. Then we all attended the State of the City on May 29th, which was fabulous. I'm still hearing a lot of people raving about it and talking to me about it. And, yes, we did participate. Councilmember Farr, myself, and the mayor rode bikes in tandem. The idea was to connect our community, the elected officials, in tandem. We were all working together to look at a coastal route, and it was over the ride was over 37 miles now. I didn't ride 37 miles, but I just rode a very short period, a stretch. But it went all the way to, I'm thinking it went all the way down to Carpinteria.
Rincon?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it was very enjoyable, and I think I've seen a couple YouTube videos of you on the Internet, Mayor. Looked pretty good. So, yeah, it was a great experience, and I thoroughly enjoyed doing it. It made me really want to get back on my bike a lot more. But I also felt very safe because somebody was in front of me and I had people all around me, so it felt very safe. June 5th, that's Thursday. This Thursday we're having our awards here for the Cyclemania bike challenge event. And I believe it's Thursday, isn't it? Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct. It's this Thursday.
Okay, so
that's a noontime event, luncheon.
Okay, so I'm looking forward to being there and seeing all the winners. So thank you. That's all I have to say.
Okay, I will, serving on the grant funding committee, the public information is what's recommended to council will be made public on Wednesday, June the 11th. And all of the recipients will know by that time as to whether or not they were funded based on their requests. I would remind everyone that you have until the 10th of June to file if you have an interest of a council appointment to the vacant council seat. That's very important to our community, and we just want to remind everyone to please keep that in consideration if you so desire. Tentatively now, we're scheduled for interviews on the 12th, which is a Thursday, if I recall correctly, and that will be determined, the amount of time will be determined on the number of applicants that come forth, and we may continue into the next day, which is the 13th, again, dependent upon the number of applicants that may apply. As I also had a meeting with Southern California Edison based on the challenges and difficulties we're having in our community and the power outages that we continue to have and the lack of responsiveness that Edison shows in this community when we do have problems and when we brought things to their attention. So we tried to work out a means by which that can be improved, and I think the meeting went well. Of course, actions speak louder than words, so we'll determine in the next few months whether anything positive came out of that meeting in regards to their responsiveness. As previously stated, we had an Econ Development Committee meeting, which I also serve on, and I was able to clarify some issues for the public that were misreported earlier, and their meeting was recorded. So if there's any discussion or anyone wishes to listen to what was discussed and how things were clarified, they're welcome to obtain that information from the city. And as previously stated also about the state of the city, I also felt that it was a very positive event, and good information was provided to, about our community to the community, and I too have received innumerable positive comments and thinking that once again we had done very, very well in that presentation. Then on Saturday, probably against some better thoughts, but I went ahead and rode in the event from the Henley Gate, which is the east gate of UCSB, down to Arroyo Road on a tandem bicycle. It was about 4.1 mile, I was told. I was successful. I managed to be able to walk after I got off the bike, so that was excellent, and it wasn't too bad the next day either. So I'm very happy I did it. It was a great challenge, and I'm happy that I'm here today with a smile on my face. So that worked out.
That was your warm-up for your knee surgery.
Yeah, right? That was my warm-up for my knee surgery. So in any case, that worked out real well, and I appreciated that opportunity. So that concludes my activities this last 2 weeks. And on that note, I would like to turn it over to the Madam City Manager.
I have a few items to report on. Several of the things on my list were already reported on by council, so thank you for that. I did want to note for the public's and council's benefit that the State of the City presentation will be rebroadcast on two channels, Cox Channel 8 and on the city's Goleta Channel 19. On Cox, the replays will be at noon on weekdays throughout the month of June. I'm still waiting to hear from staff on when the replays will be running on Channel 19. When we have that information, we'll make it available for the public so everyone knows. But at this point, anyone who wants to view the presentation can find a link to the video on YouTube from the city's website. So it's actually available now live for anybody who wants to watch it outside of the rebroadcast times. Also, I wanted to let council and the public know that the Monarch Press, the next edition, will be released on July 1st. So staff is in the process of putting together content for that. And also, staff wanted us to pass on to you and also to anyone who's watching that the date has been chosen for the 2014 Dam Dinner at Lake Los Carneros, and that will be August 23rd from 5 to 7 p.m. And the committee for that dinner will be meeting soon to get all the preparations underway. That's all I have.
Super. Mr. Attorney.
No report.
With that, would you report us into a closed session?
The City Council will meet in closed session this afternoon on two items: conference with legal counsel on anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9C with respect to the potential initiation of one matter of litigation, and on public employment pursuant to Section 54957B with regard to the following personnel matter: the interim city manager. The council will consider items related to the scope of the interim city manager appointment. Do not believe you have any speaker cards on this, and no reportable action is anticipated.
Thank you. That concludes the afternoon meeting of the Goleta City Council. We will not be meeting this evening, so this concludes all of the business for this particular period. Thank you.